If you have your Bible with you tonight, let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be looking at the last virtue that's listed there that we need to add to our faith. So tonight we're going to be, I'll be preaching on the subject, pursuing charity. Pursuing charity. You remember here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, that he writes about God's part in our salvation and our spiritual growth. Those verses describe what God has done for us. In other words, God has given us these everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. He's given us everything that we need to grow and mature as Christians. But beginning in verse 5, he talks about our responsibility to add to our faith. And he says there, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And so tonight we're going to look at adding charity to brotherly kindness. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the opportunity that we have to go to your word. We thank you for the truths that we have here that challenge us to pursue spiritual maturity and spiritual growth in our lives. Lord, I know that many times it's easy to become complacent in our Christian life. It's easy to just to go with the flow and just exist and just to be bored with our Christian life. And Lord, I pray that you'd stir us up tonight and help us, Lord, to realize that you've called us to give all diligence, that we would pursue with a passion our spiritual growth, that we would be adding these virtues to our faith. And Lord, that we might be able to let others see Jesus in us, just as we sang just a moment ago. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do tonight, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I will tell you, this probably will not be the last message in this series, even though it's the last virtue. We'll probably look at verse 9 through 11 next opportunity we have, and look at some of the blessed results of what happens when we do add these things to our faith. But tonight, as we look at adding charity to brotherly kindness, I want to remind you, brotherly kindness, remember, it comes from the word Philadelphia. It means brotherly love. And it speaks of that brotherly affection that we show toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the word charity here is from the Greek word agape, and it's translated many times in the New Testament, charity, but also it's translated love, and that's probably the most common word that's used to translate this agape. And I want to just kind of give an explanation between these two. In the Greek language, there's actually four words that they use for love. And I can remember three, and I didn't really put these in my notes, but it's been almost 30 years ago since I was in Koine Greek class, and so I can't remember all four of them, but I do remember three of them, and there's only two of them, the four that's used in the New Testament, and one of those is eros, and I think you probably heard terms that related to eros and erotic and stuff like that. It's romantic type love. It's selfish or type love. It's the best way I can describe it. And I like to share the differences between these three, because when a couple comes together for marriage or courting or marriage, usually the kind of love that it starts out as is eros. And don't think of it as just sexual only. It's not just sexual love, but it's just that. It's like I talked about last week, in our culture, a lot of the love today in our culture is self-satisfaction, something that gives us self-satisfaction. That's kind of the Eros type love. It's something that gives us satisfaction. And so we meet a person that's going to be our spouse, that person gives us satisfaction. That's usually how it starts. We maybe like how they look, or we have things in common, or, you know, it starts out at that level. I guarantee you, every time, that's where it starts. You don't start at agape. There's none of us that spiritual, okay? But we usually start with Eros, but then we start, as we grow in that courtship and love, it grows into that next word, phileo, where you get Philadelphia, brotherly love. Phileo is like that brother-to-brother kind of love, and I want to say that it's reciprocal. It's a mutual kind of love. It's phileo is like, I love you because you love me. And I love you because I like you. That's phileo. But then, the highest form of love is agape. And agape is sacrificial. It's unselfish. It's unconditional. It's unilateral. What I mean by that is that I love you even if you don't love me in return. Yeah. And see, that's the kind of love that for a marriage, and we're not talking about marriage tonight, but it's just an example of how this works, but that's the kind of love that you need to develop to make your marriage last. Amen. It won't last with Eros. Right. It won't. And that's why a lot of marriages fail today. And I remember when I was in high school and I had a girlfriend, I think it was right before my wife, a girlfriend. and my wife was really my second serious girlfriend date, and we became married. But anyway, I remember my mom telling me that you can't live off of love. And she meant that kind of love. That's what she meant. I know that's what she meant. And it's got to grow deeper than that. It's got to grow deeper than just being friends and having that friendship love or loving because you have mutual love. It's got to grow deeper into agape love or charity, as he uses here. It's got to grow to that kind of depth where I love you whether you love me or not. And you know, if we have that kind of love and you think about it in your marriage, it's going to last. Because even if your spouse is, let's say your spouse is disabled or something of that nature that they cannot fulfill your needs, you still love them. You're still going to stand by them. You're still going to stick with them. You're still going to be there with them till death do you part. That's what we're talking about, agape love tonight. And he's telling us this is the kind of love we need to add to brotherly kindness. We need to, in other words, we need to go beyond this mutual love thing in our church. We need to go beyond just loving one another mutually or because we like each other or because we're in the family of God. We need to go beyond that and add this unselfish, sacrificial kind of love to our relationships. Not just our marriage, but with one another as well. The Bible Knowledge Commentary, he said that whereas brotherly kindness is concerned for others' needs, love is desiring the highest good for others. And so this is something that we see tonight about charity. And I want to share some Bible facts about charity, or we could say about love tonight. Look at some Bible facts to help us understand more of what we need to pursue in our Christian life, and so that we can add these things to our faith. First of all, we learn this fact that love is God's nature. What he's asking us here to add to brotherly kindness is the very love that makes up God's nature. And I want you to look in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. 1 John 4, 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. The word love here is agape. And so he says here that God is love. If we don't love, then we don't know God. That's what he says. In verse 16 in this same chapter, he says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." And this verse here kind of gives us a little bit of a insight as to how we can have this kind of love. Well, you have to know God. You have to know Jesus Christ. You have to be saved. You have to have the indwelling Holy Spirit, because he says that he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So it's only possible as God is living in us that we can manifest this kind of love, this unselfish, unconditional love that's not a mutual kind of love, but it's a unilateral type of love, that I love you whether you love me in return or not. This is God's nature. God is love. So we learned that about charity. We learned that about love, that God's nature is love. Second, we learn in the Bible that love is self-giving. It's sacrificial. Love is self-giving and sacrificial. I want you to turn to, we referred to this verse last week in John 3:16. I realize that most of you have it memorized, but let's just turn over there anyway and read it from the Bible. But this word love here is agape, here in John 3:16. "For God so loved," he so loved, agape, "the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, I shared last week that love in our culture, as I said a moment ago, it's something that gives us self-gratification. That's how our culture thinks about love. It's something that, you know, makes me feel good. I love coffee. Why? Because it makes me feel good. It helps me wake up in the morning. And I saw a coffee cup yesterday at Red River. I wanted to buy it. It said, "I'm barely awake." And it had a picture of a bear. You know, it gives us gratification. That's what we think of love. But in the Bible, love, and especially this agape type of love, it refers to self-sacrifice. Unselfish, unconditional sacrifice. And the greatest examples right here in John 3:16, this is the greatest example of it, is when Christ laid down his life for you and I. That was the most unselfish, sacrificial type of love ever displayed in the history of the world. Amen. And believe it or not, this is the same kind of love that Peter tells us to add to our faith. Amen. To add to our brotherly kindness is this kind of love, God-like love. The same kind of love that caused our Father in heaven to sacrifice his Son for us when he wasn't even loved in return. Think about that. He did it while we were yet sinners. He wasn't even loved in return, but yet he sacrificed for us. That's agape love. And that's the kind of love that we need to show. The third thing we learn, Bible fact about love, is love is the greatest thing. It's the greatest of all the virtues. It's the greatest. And I think Peter left it for the last thing because it is the greatest. If you can excel in this, you have matured as a believer. And I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 13. This is the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. When I do marriage counseling, premarital counseling, I always go to this chapter because I always like to ask couples before they get married, I like to ask them, what is love? It's interesting the answers that you can get. What is love? And I like to listen to what their opinion is about love and let them share with me and ways that they love each other and so on. And then I say, well, let's look at what the Bible says that love is. And you will find in 1 Corinthians 13 what it is. And of course, here it's translated the word charity. And let's begin in verse 1 and read down through some of these verses to verse number 8. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. You know, if you stop and think about those first three verses, it's pretty amazing. I mean, someone that could preach like an angel, or someone that could, you know, sacrifice himself in the sense of allowing his body to be burned or bestow his goods to the poor. You know, these are some sacrificial things. But he says, if you do these things and you don't have charity, you're nothing. Verse 4, charity suffereth long. Now that means it's patient. It is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. In other words, it's not proud. charity, it said, doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never faileth. That's 15 descriptions of charity. And you learn that this type of love, it's not a noun, it's a verb. It's action. You know, this love, as I said last week, it's not some airy feeling that we get, that the butterflies in the stomach when we see that love at first sight. That's not this kind of love. That's Eros kind of love. This kind of love is action. It's an act of the will. It's when I choose to love someone even though they may not love me. And you can see all those different descriptions. But I want you to look at the last verse in this chapter. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. That's the point we're trying to make here. Love's the greatest thing. It's greater than faith. It's greater than hope. Why is that? It's the only one that will last forever. You know, when we get to heaven, our faith will become sight. Think about it. There won't be faith in heaven. We will see the Lord. We will be there. So our hope will be realized. You know, what is hope? It's a confident expectation. It's based on the promises of the Word of God. Well, when we get to heaven, that's going to be realized. So you're not going to have faith in heaven. You're not going to have hope in heaven. But guess what? You're going to have love. And that's why he says here. He says love is the greatest of these three. There's one thing that will continue on into all eternity, and that is love. We will love the Lord throughout all eternity. And so it is the greatest thing. It is the greatest. You know, there's a verse in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. It tells us that above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. I like that phrase. And above all things, love is the greatest. He said, above all things, have fervent charity. Fervent. Fervent. Think of that word, fervent charity. It means be passionate about this unselfish, sacrificial love for one another. Be fervent and passionate about it. Pursue it in all your relationships. Above all things, you know, that means it should be a priority in our life. We must make this a priority. We can't just set it off to the side. It's not just going to happen. We've got to make it a prioritize this. Above all things, have fervent charity. Number four, there's another Bible truth about love. Love is the evidence of being a disciple of Jesus. You know, we talked about this one last week when we talked about brotherly kindness. You know, we went to 1 John chapter 3, and, you know, he talks about that. If you don't love your brother, then you don't have the life of God in you. You can't be saved and if you don't love the brethren. And so that's an evidence of salvation, is when we love our brethren. But this particular truth here, John 13, 34 and 35, and of course we looked at this one last week, but I would have you to know that the love in these verses is agape. John 13, 34 and 35, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. This is how men know that we are his disciples, because we have agape love, because we have unselfish, sacrificial love for one another. We love like he loved us. You know, that's the standard. Christ is the standard of this agape love. He says, as I have loved you, so love one another. Well, that's a pretty high standard, isn't it? That is a high standard. We can stop and think, well, how can I do that? How can I ever love like Jesus loved me? How can I love others like Jesus loves me? Well, that brings us to the next Bible truth, number five. Love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, in Galatians 5, we just talked about these last Wednesday. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. It's produced by the Spirit. It's not something that we work up in us. It's not something that we can do in and of ourselves. It's as we walk in the Spirit, as we yield to the Spirit, as we allow the Spirit to have control of our lives, guess what? He produces in us this agape love. You know, that's the only way we can love as Jesus loved, is to be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. As we find it is the fruit of the Spirit. There's another truth, Bible truth. Number six, love is how we imitate our Father. Love is how we imitate our Father. Go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. In verse number 1. He tells us, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also had loved us and had given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Followers of God. What does it mean to be a follower of God? It means that we are being like him. We are imitating him. And he tells us here how to do that, by walking in love. walking in love. And so that song that we just sang tonight about let others see Jesus in you, one of the best ways we can do that is right here, walk in love as Christ had loved us. Because you know what? The world out there, they don't understand this kind of love. They only understand eros. They understand, well, if it gives me gratification, then it's love. They don't understand this unselfish, unconditional, sacrificial kind of love. But they can recognize it when they see it. They can see something different about it. When they see us as Christians, you know, maybe it's in the workplace. You're working with somebody that's just very difficult to work with. There's somebody that's hard to like, hard to work with, but yet you show kindness to them. Remember, charity is what? Is kind. You show long-suffering patience to them. Charity is what? Is long-suffering. It suffereth long. I mean, just go back to 1 Corinthians 13, start looking through some of those things. That's the action, how it's manifest when we show love to lost people. And they're like, why are you kind to me when I'm so mean to you? Why are you putting up with me so much? Because I'm so hateful to you. Why do you bring me, treats for lunch? Why are you doing these special things for me? Why? See, you're showing Jesus. You're showing agape love. And Jesus said that's how they're going to know you're his disciple. This is how we imitate our Father. This is how we show we're followers of God. And as I said, these virtues in Peter, I believe they're like stepping stones. As we start adding these things to our faith, the last one, the capstone, is virtue. It's charity. It's the capstone. It's the greatest. It's the one we are to pursue with a passion. It's the one that sets us apart as his disciple. It's the one that shows we're followers of God. It's the one that's going to continue for all eternity. You know, this is certainly one that we ought to give consideration to tonight with all diligence to add it to our faith. And we can't without the Lord's help, without the resources he's given us. He's given us all the resources, but we have to do our part and add it to our faith. I was reading a story. There's a lady about to get a divorce, and she was full of hatred for her husband, and she told her friend, she said, I don't want to just get rid of him. I want to get even. Before I divorce him, I want to hurt him as much as he has hurt me. And so her friend gave her a suggestion what she could do that. She said, I want you to go home and I want you to act as if you really love your husband. I want you to tell him how much he means to you. Praise him for every good thing that he does. Go out of your way to please him. Make him believe that you love him. And after you've convinced him that you cannot live without him, then drop the bomb and tell him you're getting a divorce. That will really hurt him. So for 2 months, this wife went home. She showed love. She showed kindness, listening, giving, reinforcing, sharing. Then finally her friend called her up, said, are you ready now to go through the divorce? And she said, divorce? Never. She said, I discovered I really do love my husband. Amen. See, her actions change her feelings. Right. Right. It's not just an emotion. Motion brought emotion. See, love is not just a noun, it's a verb. We act by our act of will. We choose to love someone with this kind of love. And the feelings come afterwards. Let's stand. We're going to close in prayer. Father, tonight we're grateful for the example that we have of our Savior and how that He laid down His life as a sacrifice, as a sweet-smelling savor. And Lord, we're thankful for that. We're thankful for that unselfish, sacrificing love that You've shown to us. And Lord, I pray tonight that You would help us, that we can grow in our Christian walk, that we can grow in our spiritual maturity, that we are no longer living in the realm of eros, where it's just about self-gratification. It's just about what we can get out of it. And Lord, I pray that we'd even grow beyond brotherly kindness, that it would be more than just a mutual thing, that we love because we're being loved. But Lord, I pray to grow deeper, that it would be this agape love, that we would love even though we're not loved, that we would just love as Christ loved, that we would grow in that kind of love in our relationship with others, especially in our marriage and with our kids, and that we would have that kind of love. Lord, we know it's only possible as we walk in the Spirit, as we're filled with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we need Your help. We need You to strengthen us and fill us with this kind of love. And Lord, we know we have a part. We have to day by day, moment by moment, we have to walk in the Spirit. We have to rely upon You. We have to add these things. We have to pursue this kind of love in our life. Lord, I pray that You would, by Your Holy Spirit, guide us and lead us. And tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.